Hi, my name is Killeen DeRoche. I use the nickname GovNew in various parts of the internet, and I'd like to talk about the Nix project. This is on nixos.org, and it's actually a collection of open source projects, including Nix itself, the purely functional package manager. I'll just read what it says on the page because it describes it better than I can. So this means that it can ensure that an upgrade to one package cannot break others, that you can always roll back to previous versions, that multiple versions of a package can coexist on the same system, and much more. And Nix packages is a collection of packages, Nix expressions, which can be installed. And NixOS is a Linux distribution which, it supports atomic upgrades, rollbacks, multi-user package management, and it has a declarative approach to system configuration management that makes it easy to reproduce a configuration on another machine. And also part of this suite is Hydra, which is a continuous build system. It's a build farm, if you like. It creates the binary packages from these expressions. And also there's Disnix, which is a deployment system. So if you're familiar with things like Puppet or CF Engine or stuff like that, this can be used for that type of thing. The Nix package manager can be used independently of Nix OS. You can actually use it to install packages on top of Debian or Red Hat, or even to a lesser degree on Mac OS X, and even to a much lesser degree on Windows. So I've been using the Nix package manager myself for a couple of years now. I started using it on Debian Stable as a means to update Firefox and my window manager and things like that without interfering with the base system, so I could get all the security patches from Debian and be sure that my base system was solid, and then pick and choose whatever updated packages, Kden Live or whatever that I cared about. I could update that independently using the Nix package manager. And after a year of doing that, I decided to switch to NixOS proper, and I still do use Debian in virtual machines for development. So according to the NixOS website itself, it describes it as an experimental GNU Linux distribution that aims to improve the state of the art in system configuration management. In existing distributions, actions such as upgrades are dangerous. Upgrading a package can cause other packages to break. Upgrading an entire system is much less reliable than reinstalling from scratch. You can't safely test what the results of a configuration change will be, and you cannot easily undo changes to the system. So I've been running Linux myself for about 10 years, and I've tried loads of different distros. I started off on Mandrake, and that really got me into things. It worked really well, and I decided then that I was going to give up my job as an ASP web developer and really get into open source proper, and I wanted to learn more, so I thought I'd run Gentoo for a while, and I did the LPI exam and things like that, and I tried to Ubuntu and Mint, I tried Arch for a short while. And so you have this choice with Linux distros. You can choose a stable release cycle distro like Debian, Red Hat, Ubuntu, or you can choose a rolling release. You can have Gentoo or Arch, but what I really wanted to do was to have an operating system I could depend on. I need this for work. I need to use this every day. I need to know that I can turn on my computer and I can do my work. But I also need to have the latest browser for work as well, and I also like to be able to install software. I don't want to think that, okay, if I install and video editor that maybe this will break strange things and I'll have to like spend hours trying to debug what it is before I can use my operating system for doing anything else, which can happen. I mean, on the Kden Live website, it says that if you want to install Kden Live, the video editor, on Debian, the first step is to upgrade to Debian Unstable. Now, it's probably an oversimplification. I mean, it may well be possible to pin the Qt libraries and ffmpeg or whatever other dependencies you need and create some configuration in Debian Stable which allows you to actually compile the kdenlive for your system without compromising, but it's not simple. And this is where the Nix package manager fits in beautifully, I think. I'd like to quote Aben Moglen, slightly out of context actually, but he said in 2009, he was actually talking about the Freedom Box, but he said that the architecture of technology in the past 20 years has largely been about the making of platforms rather than communities. You know what platforms are. Platforms are sticky things. It's difficult to fall off. So for a commercial operating system, it makes a lot of sense to have this stable platform idea. You can release a set of libraries and a complete operating system, and the promise to third-party developers and users is that this will be the basis for the next few years. People can build upon that, and everybody who wants to support your platform just has to care about that one configuration. And as everybody knows, this isn't the case in Linux. There are loads of different distros. So if you're a software developer and you want to make your software available to the Linux community, there's kind of this burden for ensuring that your software works with every conceivable version of every library which is out in the wild. The thing is, it just doesn't make sense for everybody who writes free software to agree on everything that, okay, everybody's going to use this library and we're not going to change for the next 5 years because it's better for everyone. This is a thing you'll see often debated about, like one of the problems of Linux and free software is that it's not a platform and that third-party developers or, say, whoever, proprietary software developers, don't have a target platform. They can't just like release one thing and distribute it. They have to like take into account that there's all these variations out there. But actually, to my mind, the major stable releases are an approximation of a platform. It seems like the idea of having long-term releases, or in fact any kind of release cycle at all, is to provide people with something, some approximation of a platform. And you sometimes also hear it suggested that, oh, if everybody just ran Red Hat or Ubuntu or something, then Linux would be excellent. It would be so much easier for developers and also for people who wanted to use Linux because there's less of this overhead. I know there's loads of alternative approaches to tackling this issue, including Ubuntu PPAs, and Fedora also has their own package system. What I really want to do is present the Nix package management system and just explain roughly how it does what it does. And I think it has some really interesting ideas. I just see this whole thing as an important issue for Linux, and I would love if we had these features. I wouldn't care if they were like implemented in Debian or Fedora or whatever. I think it's really valuable to have these features for the sake of the flexibility you get and the confidence you can have in your operating system. If you can upgrade any package that you want without fear of your whole system breaking, and if things break, you can roll back to an older version just instantly. I kind of actually feel that there's this culture in free software that things are supposed to break, and that because you benefit from all the hard work that these developers and maintainers put into the distros, that it's your responsibility to fill out bug reports and to fix your own computer when things break. That's like, as a member of the free software community, this is what you should do. The thing is, it's not always the most convenient time to just put everything aside. If your computer is broken, you can't do anything else. You have to fix your computer right now. Whereas having this ability to roll back to a working version quickly means you can get on with whatever you want to do. You already have the broken system waiting for you to look at it whenever you have time, but it doesn't disrupt you from continuing to work on whatever you want to. And in general, this means you can be more productive, you can use your computer when you want, and then you can decide, okay, when it suits you, you can be an active member of the community. And actually, because of the way that the Nix system works, which I will explain a little bit, you can actually debug quite accurately which perhaps conflicting libraries are involved, or what the underlying issue is, and you can hand someone, you can actually point someone to a closure of the package, which they will be able to see exactly what build inputs were involved and what compile time options were involved, and they can reproduce exactly the issue very quickly. Okay, so what is this Nix thing? It's a functional package manager. Okay, so let me read from Wikipedia about functional programming. In computer science, functional programming is a programming paradigm that treats computation as the evaluation of mathematical functions and avoids state and mutable data. So what has this got to do with software on your system? Okay, so if you open your terminal and type ls, let's just think for a minute what happens. So it looks on your environment variable called path for the lists of directories where it can find this command that you just called, ls. It'll probably find it in slash bin or somewhere. And then it runs it. Okay. Now the point is that in slash bin you have this binary ls which lists the files in a directory. But let's say that you upgrade your system and ls changes and some bug has been introduced, and it, instead of listing files, it removes all your files or whatever. So, but when you call ls from the command line, it's going to look up and it's going to find that command and run it. And what's happened is it's very much like a global variable in a programming language. You've got this one instance called ls, which exists in slash bin, and if you replace it, it's gone. There's no way to like look up what was the last version of ls that I had. So I think this is what we mean by side effects in non-functional programming languages. The state has been changed of your environment. The file system hierarchy standard for Linux is a convention which describes where things should exist in the file system. So for example, slash bin or slash etc for configuration files. And this is the point where Nix is a bit controversial. It does try to stick to the file system hierarchy standard, but it uses this trick. Nix puts all the packages and configuration and stuff into slash nix slash store. And in there, there's a directory for each package, and the name of that directory is calculated so that it's unique to that derivation. So if you change anything about the, we'll say, the compile options or the version of a library which is used to build a particular application or whatever, a new directory will be created, and that application, that binary, all the related configuration files and everything will be put in there. And then, so the software is prepared. It's usually available as a binary which has been built by the Hydra build system, the build farm. And download it onto your system, and this path is created. And this is when the notion of atomic upgrades comes in, because the place in your path environment variable that points to a symlink, which points to somewhere in the next door, which describes your current environment, your profile, and that gets updated to include a link to that version of the package. Now, this is all a bit too complicated to kind of cover in depth, but the basic idea is that you don't have this single binary which gets overwritten every time the software changes. You have every version which you care about is available in the next store, and all you need to do, like, you can run any of them directly if you want. They have a complete set of dependencies. So if for some reason you've upgraded any piece of software and you realize something is wrong, all you have to do is roll back to the last version. Okay, so you're probably thinking, oh my god, this is going to take up loads of hard drive space. Okay, whenever you decide that basically everything is working, maybe you upgraded last week and you haven't had any problems, so then you can go ahead and do the garbage collection and remove those old versions from your store. Typically they'll stay in Hydra, so if you ever want to download them again, you can just go onto the Hydra website and click and install that exact version with all the dependencies and configuration options and everything as they were. This also means that you can have multiple versions installed at the same time without any conflict. This is really cool if you want to test some experimental software. You can run anything. You can have the most crazy experimental cutting edge libraries which aren't even beta yet, and you can install a package and run it, and you can keep your default version of the same package without any interference, and you can remove it and it's not gonna, your computer isn't gonna blow up, and you can just uninstall it or keep it under a different name and use it for testing purposes and just report bugs or whatever. Just in case there's any confusion, the dependencies of an application, where they're shared between different applications, they're also shared in Nix. There's like a separate store path for each library, and it uses, we'll say for some things it might use an environment variable, we'll say for Python it would be Python path, so that a particular application can find exactly the version, the Python modules it needs. For compile stuff it might use OR path, so that they're linked to an application is linked dynamically to a particular library. So actually it doesn't use all that much more space, it just uses more space for things which are different. So obviously if you have two separate libraries and you want to have two versions of an application compiled with these two separate libraries, that's going to take up more space. But just to give you an example, I have like a full desktop system, KDE, loads of audio applications, and a few generations in there which I could roll back to, and that's like 10 gigs. Another nice feature is that you can go in and override any of the Nix expressions. Nix actually uses a domain-specific language which is specifically designed for managing packages, installing packages, and configuration options. So you can use this language to configure your system, and this is also how you will add new packages if you want, or tweak some of the options for existing packages on your system. So if you want, and quite typically people describe their system configuration in a configuration.nix file, and that can include what packages you want to have installed, your default window manager, if you want to run SSH on a particular port, anything essentially. This is also what you can use for the deployment options with Disnix. That's not something I've had a look at myself, but it sounds quite cool. I mean, if you want to have a configuration for a whole cluster of machines, you can do that, and you can even do incredible stuff like you can have a configuration for a cluster, and then you can instantiate it on your test machine and get it to run various VMs with those exact configurations. You could, for example, set up a SQL server on one VM, and then you could have a website on another VM, and you could have them configured so that the website is accessing the SQL server from the other VM, and you could test that whole system works on your own local machine, and then you could decide, okay, this works. You can actually write tests which will look for things using the Nix language as well. But once you're happy, you can do your automated testing, and then you can also deploy that exact system on bare metal. Okay, so I've already mentioned that there's this Hydra build farm which builds the packages. If you change a configuration option, let's say a compile option, or you want to test something out locally, you will have to build that package locally. There's essentially this hash that I described earlier that will have changed, and Nix will find that it would look for that on Hydra and realize that it doesn't exist yet, and then it will decide to build it locally. So that's how it falls back to building packages from source when they're not available. It also has a feature where if you have the binary version of a particular application and there's been an upgrade, then Hydra prepares binary deltas. So you only actually have to download the piece of the binary file which is changed. You don't have to download the whole thing if it's like LibreOffice or something and something small has changed. You only have to download that tiny bit. Another feature provided by Hydra is, I think I mentioned it already, the single-click install. So you can look at any package there, and so there will be a link. If you have the Nix package manager installed on any distro, you can click on that link, and that will download all these paths and put them into your system, into your store, and then activate them so that you can use that exact version, which is pretty handy. And the other thing is that you can set it up so that any unprivileged user on your system can also install packages, and they can have their own versions. So if you have a multi-user system, you could have two quite different systems essentially using the same or using whatever versions of packages they want, and they can manage their software independently. So I guess at this stage you're probably wondering, if I love NixOS so much, why don't I just go and marry it? It's not all roses. There's no comparison between the sheer amount of packages you'll find in Slackware or Debian or any other distro. There's like a relatively small Nix community who package things that they care about, and it just so happens that, for example, there's no GNOME. There's no GNOME 2 or GNOME 3. There's quite a decent KDE, there's XFCE, there's like Xmonad, and there's like loads of tiling window managers. It's just whatever people are interested in and happen to package. So you may or may not find the software that you're interested in. The good side is it's not difficult to add packages. For most packages, if they've got a pretty typical build system, there's already quite an easy way. Basically, you just have to you add the expression, and it just has to include a link to where you can download it from. It also has to include a hash so that it checks that it's like a checksum, so that it checks that it has the correct file. And then if there's any, you have to list the build inputs, which are the dependencies. So that could include say Qt or GTK or whatever libraries, libsound or whatever you want, whatever that package needs. And you can add configuration options if you want people to be able to tweak particular things and turn on and turn off things. And yes, sometimes you will need to adjust some of the makefiles or whatever, or apply patches. But typically, you just add the build inputs, the dependencies for that software, and that's it. It will basically run the configure, make, install, or if it's, you know, CMake or whatever, it's pretty sensible in how it handles various things, and it'll do a pretty good job of most things. You can just drop them in. I'm often surprised at how easy it is to package things. Sometimes it's not, and you have to do manual changes, so that's the thing. I should really mention that Nix isn't such a recent project. And Elko Visser actually presented a paper on it back in 2004, and it's been under development since then. It's been a subject of quite a few research projects in University of Utrecht in the Netherlands. And that's one of the nice things about it as well, is that there's loads of research papers. It's really been, it's really in-depth, not just documentation, but discussions of the computer science of how to manage deployment and upgrades and stuff. So it's really interesting. I mean, it's well worth reading the papers if you're interested in computer science in general, even the Nix domain specific language itself and how that works and where it comes from and some of that stuff is really interesting. I know there's a really good interview with Elko Visser on Software Engineering Radio as well, where he discusses grammars and things like that. I should also point out that I'm just a Nix user myself. I'm not a core contributor or anything like that. I have a basic understanding of how it works, and I may have said many things which are not entirely correct or even completely wrong, so I hope I don't misrepresent it too much. So anyway, that's it. That's Nix OS and the Nix Package Manager. I hope it's of some interest. I mean, check it out if there's something you want to install. Say, I like to give Kden Live as a good example, because it can be quite tricky to compile. And we do have a binary version in Nix OS and Nix packages, so you could just install the Nix Package Manager, which is may shortly be available in Fedora, actually. And I think I've seen it on the AUR for Arch and stuff, so it might be very simple to install. Or otherwise, you can just compile it. It's not very difficult to compile either. And then you just install it, nixenv minus I and the name of the package, and it should get it. Or you can click on the link on Hydra and download a particular version, and then you can update it as well via the Nix Package Manager. So hopefully it's of some interest. And yeah, I'd be very curious to hear if people do give it a shot, or if they have any feedback about it. You know, I do meet people who've like run Debian for whatever 20 years, and they've never had a problem, and they've never felt the need to update anything, and they're perfectly happy to wait for a few years or whatever. I don't mean that in a condescending way. I mean, it's you get this stable system, and there's this massive community, and it works really well, and that's nice. So, and I also met people who run Arch and they update it every day and they've never had any problems and everything works perfectly. Like, that's brilliant. I have not had this experience myself, and as I say, I've run a few different distros, and yeah, Nix OS really gives me a lot of hope that, you know, this culture is possible, where everybody can continuously upgrade software and work on software and cherry pick whatever dependencies they want for a particular piece of software, and just get on with doing what they enjoy and making cool stuff. So that's it. Thanks for listening. And I hang out on Oddcast Planet if anyone wants to discuss this, or if you want to do, I would love to do maybe a round table where we could discuss the merits and disadvantages of various approaches or whatever. That would be fun too. So cool. So take care, and thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.